Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're studying in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 6th canto, chapter 7, text number 15. It's not... I tend to speak loud, and when they turn these things on... A couple days back, there was one devotee who speaks like me, and it was so hard, I kept moving back away from the speakers. But he gave a very nice class, but it was powerful in many ways. So let me know if it gets too loud, I'll move the microphone back, okay? Just kind of go like this. And then Aham Amaracharyam Agadha Dishanam Dvijam Prasadayishye Nishata Shirsna Tach Charanam Sprisan. Relation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Indra said, "Therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. Because he is in the mode of goodness, he is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him." Purport. Coming to his senses, King Indra realized that he was not a very sincere disciple of his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Therefore, he decided that henceforward he would be nishata, non-duplicitous. Nishata shirsna touch charanam sprisan. He decided to touch his head to the feet of his spiritual master. For this example, we should learn this principle enunciated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadana gatikotopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. A disciple should never be a hypocrite or be unfaithful to a spiritual master. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 17, verse 27, the spiritual master is also called Acharya. Acharyam mam vidjaniyan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one should respect the spiritual master, accepting him as the Lord himself. Navamanyeta karhichit. One should not disrespect the Acharya at any time. Namarcha budhyasuyeta. One should never think the Acharya an ordinary person. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. But one should be very careful in one's dealings with the Acharya. Agadha dishanam dvijam. The Acharya is a perfect Brahmana and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of his disciple. Therefore, Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidi pranipatena paripishnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvat darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. One should fully surrender unto the spiritual master, and with service, sevaya, one should approach him for further spiritual enlightenment. This is a very powerful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've heard several classes, at least I was here for three classes this week, where we talked about Indra's mistake. Indra was, or is, the king of heaven. But because of his opulence, he somehow or another became overwhelmed and forgot to offer his respects to a spiritual master when he entered into the assembly. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about familiarity breeds contempt. So when the spiritual master is coming and going, sometimes when he's coming, we don't get up. Sometimes when he's going, we don't bow down. You see, like that. This is what Indra made that mistake. The spiritual master was coming in. He was just thinking, oh, here comes Brihaspati. Right? Didn't acknowledge. Didn't get up. He failed to make that connection in his brain that this is my spiritual master. Not until later did he make that connection. We talked about opulence. And along with the opulence comes responsibility. Responsibility. The higher you get on the chain of command, the more responsibility comes with each position. You know, when we were bhaktas, we didn't know. We could make so many mistakes and people would just tell you, okay, it's okay. It's okay. Come on, we do it this way, right? Sometimes people, don't do that. You know, sometimes we are not so gentle to the bhaktas. But we have to know how to give the opportunity to take more and more responsibility. So as you took first diksha, second diksha, some people will take sannyas soon. What will be our position? You see, more and more responsibility means now we're responsible for more and more people. In this temple, it's very nice because you have counseling system. So when you're a bhakta, you're just under the counselor. Then one day you're the counselor. And you're going, how can I take care of these people? I have 5, I have 10, I have 20, I have 50, I have 100. I'm responsible for their spiritual life. How will I raise them out of this spiritual, out of this material muck? So with each position that we take, more responsibility comes. So Indra, he forgot about all the responsibility he had. He had all these people bowing down, describes how he had, even the snakes were bowing down and offering service to him. Even the snakes were coming. At that same time, they were bowing down, they were offering service. Indra forgot to bow down and offer service to his spiritual master. Then what happened? Brihaspati disappeared. He just left that assembly. It is described, because he is more powerful than Indra, he could not even let Indra find him in his mind. Indra went searching everywhere, had other demigods looking for him, couldn't find him. Disappeared. This is a very frightening position, actually. And most of you don't have any experience of that. Some of you I know in this room, their spiritual master has disappeared. Left their bodies like that, or just left. I remember when Srila Prabhupada left the planet. It was as if the lights were turned out. He's stumbling around now in the dark. All the instructions were there. We had read the books. We had rendered service. We had heard the lectures. But when the spiritual master leaves, one becomes greatly disturbed. Greatly disturbed. Beyond your conception. I don't know if you've ever had a family member die. Or maybe your father has died. You know, your mother has died. It's very disturbing in the heart. But also in the mind. Or what to speak as if your child dies. Your child dies and you're thinking, how can God be so cruel? How can he take this little baby like this? How can he remove them like this? And especially for the parent, it's so devastating. So for the child also, who's totally dependent on the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is taken away, sometimes you think, Krishna, what is your problem? I can remember being so angry. So angry. Why have you left? We're not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. How have you left like this? You cannot leave me like this. Then I began to curse Krishna in my mind, sometimes even openly. That how can he set us up and then take Prabhupada away and leave us like this? Because at that time, our movement became very scary. After Prabhupada left, things totally changed. And some devotees, they were able to hang. Some devotees tried very hard to render that service. To render service. They were rendering service. We continued with book distribution. We continued with going to the morning program, chanting our rounds, dancing, trying to feel that same feeling. But something was missing. Something was like, what is it? It's like when you jump to dance, you couldn't get off the ground, you see? Because when the spiritual master leaves, if you're at all not in the association properly of the devotees, it's a hole in the heart. It's a hole in the heart. We already have so many holes in the heart by separation from Krishna. Now, I know some of you are sitting there saying, well, you have Vani and Vapu, Prabhu. You have Vani and Vapu. Yes. But sometimes you don't remember the instructions because you're overwhelmed with what's going on. When Krishna left the planet, it became like a dark, dark, dark place. Great devotees like Vidura and Uddhava, they were traveling around trying to figure out what happened. They didn't even want to talk about it. They even met each other and started to speak. And they said, Vidura inquired from Uddhava, how are the family members? He already knew that Krishna had left the planet. The Yadu dynasty was destroyed. Everything was destroyed. But he couldn't deal with it. So he just pretended that, hey, how are your family members? And Uddhava, he couldn't deal with it either. So he started talking about what? When Krishna was a little child, he killed this demon and he engaged in that pastime. And gradually he talked little about Krishna's pastimes. But he never said Krishna's left the planet. He never said the Yadu dynasty was destroyed. He was just couldn't deal with it. Couldn't deal with it. Here's a great soul, intimate associate of Lord Krishna's. And he didn't want to deal with it. So he just talked about Krishna's pastimes. Because the pain is excruciating when the spiritual master is lost. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Even Uddhava ultimately said, I am your junior. And he went to this, he did the scripturally correct thing. He told Vidura, you go approach Maitreya Rishi. He'll tell you all these things. Huh? Couldn't deal with it. Even when Krishna gave him a direct instruction and told him, you go to Hrishikesh. Huh? Was it Hrishikesh? No. Bhadrakashram. He said, you go there. But he didn't. He followed Krishna at a distance into the forest and watch Krishna sit down with his back toward the small banyan tree. And he was a little, he wanted to know. But after Krishna left, then even when they were trying to get information from him, he said, no, I got to go. I have some instruction. He didn't follow that instruction at first, but now he's following. Why? Because there's some message there he has to get. So this is the business of the guru. He gives that message. He gives the message of what the goal of life is and how to achieve that goal. This is what Uddhava knew, what the goal was. How to achieve that goal now. How to go there. You see? We just read here, Tadvidi paripatena paripashnena sevaya upadeksham titegyan. Gyaninas tattva darshana. Why? He sees Krishna. He has darshan of Krishna. He has that knowledge. And he opened your eyes. We say that prayer every day. Om Agyanatimirandasya, right?
He has that gyan in a form of an ointment, right? And he takes that instrument, that shalaka, and he forces your eyes open. And he puts that ointment in there. We know that gyan is premanjana. It's an ointment of prem. It's not just gyan. He doesn't just give you gyan. He gives you this prem, this love of God. And he helps you to see Krishna. But how does he help you to see Krishna? Through service. It's very nice. Srila Prabhupada says here at the end of the purport that one should fully surrender unto the spiritual master, and with service one should approach him for spiritual enlightenment. With service, it's not that we just go to the spiritual master and inquire. You know, we make the most absurd inquiries. Actually, that verse in the purport, Prabhupada describes that this verse condemns absurd inquiries. We make these strange inquiries. Can you find me a job? Huh? Devotees, I was speaking one devotee recently, and he was complaining because his spiritual master had changed several instructions. He was going to take him to America and get him a job so he can take householder life. And then he said, no, that's too much trouble for you. Then he was going to take to South Africa. And he was upset because he wasn't getting a job. But the spiritual master is not the job corps. Spiritual master is not an employment agency. You don't approach him for employment. Oh my dear spiritual master, can you get me a wife? I want one about 5'5", about black hair. Can you get me a good husband? You know, I would like one who's really a strong brahmachari, but ready to be a householder. You know, it's like all these things with these absurd inquiries that we approach the spiritual master with. We miss the opportunity to get what he really has. What he really has is Krishna. He has Krishna. And so therefore, you don't approach him with these questions, you approach him with this service. And by that service, the questions come. By rendering devotional service, right? We know the Bhagavatam talks about hearing, rendering devotional service, nasta praeshu, abhadreshu, all these, everything comes. All throughout the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about how to approach Krishna through devotional service. No one can approach Krishna any other way except through service. We can gain knowledge. We can hear, but you have to hear with love. We have to hear with love. We have to render service with love. Sometimes in our enthusiasm, we forget the love. Well, actually, that's not true. Sometimes in our neophyte stage, we don't know we have the love. We think if we just come, Jai Maharaj. We think if we just come and get up in the morning and read and chant, and that it's all going to come. But there's a process of cultivating this. Just like we were talking about Lord Indra and the opulences he had. I remember when I was very young, I was very strong, could dance for hours, could sing for hours, could distribute books for hours, so many things. For hours and hours I'd go and eat. I could eat so much prasadam. That we can't leave out. So much prasadam I can take. You know? Even other devotees would look at my plate. So many times, I just kept doing this. You know, I felt like Ani Or. You know, just keep bringing. So, we have so much power and opulence. This is an opulence. To be able to eat so much prasadam is opulent. You know, when you lose that opulence, it's all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's something I'm missing now. It's an opulence. The strength, the bodily strength. But one loses all these opulences when the spiritual master goes away. What happened to the demigods after Brihaspati left. The demons, under the direction of their spiritual master, they defeated them. They shot them in the legs with arrows and in the arms and the head. They drugged themselves to Brahma and begged, please help us. Help us. Like I was saying earlier, when Srila Prabhupada left, I felt like all those demons I had conquered, they started coming back and attacking me. I'm going, where are these demons coming from? I thought I got rid of that demon and this demon, but they began to come again. Without the shelter of the spiritual master, those demons will rise and defeat you. They'll defeat you because you cannot fight them off alone. It's not possible. You have to have the strength of the spiritual master, who has the strength of Krishna. Because he's connected to Krishna, he can help you defeat these demons. Mama Maya Duratya. This is all Krishna's Maya. It's very difficult to overcome. You cannot overcome these. It's not possible. Krishna says it's not possible. It's only possible when you take shelter of him and his pure devotees. Then he will give you the strength. He'll give you the knowledge. Tesham satatam yuktam. He's in the heart. He gives you this knowledge how to defeat all the demons. He gives you the sufficient. Dhruva Maharaj, so many demons and illusions attracting him. But he remembered the mantra. The spiritual master gives us a mantra to defeat the demons. That Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare. But sometimes we forget the mantra. We forget the mantra. We forget that it's the business of the devotee to take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances. Even sometimes I see, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. I'm riding the Artik, and I'm thinking of all kinds of things. They're coming through my mind. And there's the Lord standing right before me, appears for darshan, and I'm thinking what I have to do tomorrow, or what I did yesterday, or why is that guy over there looking like that? You know, it's like, isn't it sometimes you look at some devotee and go, why is he doing that? You know? And Krishna's right there. And we have opportunity to put our head at his lotus feet, put our heart at his lotus feet, for him to take our minds and wash all that nonsense away. But we forget that he's there. We come before the spiritual master. It was kind of funny. I'll tell two stories, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody. So if you're that person, please do not be embarrassed, because it's an innocent mistake. I was sitting chanting japa a couple days back here in the assembly of devotees. And Radhanath Swami, he came in and he sat down here. And he was chanting japa very nicely. And there was one devotee sitting next to me, and he is offering prayers. And he opened one little wallet. And there was Hare Krishna mantra there. And it was very nice. I like to look at the mantra when I chant. And then he pulled a nice picture of Radhanath Swami out of there. And he looked at it and he offered prayers to the picture. And he was saying prayers and then he's chanting to the picture. And I'm thinking, why is he looking at that picture when Maharaj is right here? He's completely in flesh right here. All you have to do is look. The object of all your desires is in front of you, and we're looking at the picture. And I was thinking, this is innocent conditioning. But it is conditioning. We condition ourselves to do so many things, to try to make spiritual advancement. And so even though the spiritual master is right there present, we're still conditioned just to look at that picture and chant to that picture. Of course, you have to understand one thing. The picture of the spiritual master, just like the picture of Krishna, is non-different. So he has the right mood. The right mood is there. His Guru Maharaj is there. But I think I would want to go a little closer to this original Supreme Lord instead of his expansions, his devotee like that. Same way, one time one devotee was taking one. There was a couple busloads of devotees coming from Calcutta going to Mayapur. And there was some jalebi stand. And Prabhupada saw the jalebi. He said, stop the bus and we'll have jalebis. So the devotees went and got jalebis, gave to all the devotees. They gave to Prabhupada one jalebi, right? So this young sannyasi, he takes the jalebi and he puts his back to Prabhupada and he's making offering to a picture of Prabhupada. So the jalebis the devotees are eating are prasadam. Prabhupada said, what are you doing? I'm offering the... He already offered. Prabhupada said, you've already offered. He gave one to Prabhupada first. The offering is there. The offering is there. So sometimes in our enthusiasm to follow the rules and regulations, we forget the person's here. But I'm going to follow the rules. I got that picture. Where's that picture? You know? So we don't want to become caught in the enthusiasm of all the rules and forget the goal of the rules, the purpose of the rules. Because sometimes we follow the rules and we become proud of that we're the best rule follower. And then we go to another temple and we see other devotees and we think, oh, they don't follow the rules as nice as I follow the rules. Well, our temple has good rule followers. They are not such good rule followers. And there's a certain pride. And what happened to Indra with that pride? You see? Very dangerous. It's very dangerous. We want to be careful of this because just as we heard in three classes, that same quote, pride cometh before the fall. Each devotee spoke like that this week. We have to be careful, even to be proud of these kinds of things. We'll sit in a class and we'll go to sleep. We have opportunity to hear and we start going to sleep. We go to sleep. Because somewhere in the back of our head we're saying, I heard this before. I know that one. Huh? I know that one. But we have to be careful. Because to know it is not enough. To realize it. Realize knowledge comes from the spiritual master. This is a movement of revelation. Even we can read so many pastimes. Sometimes I hear devotees talking about the pastimes of the Lord. And it's very nice to hear sometime, you know. But we have to be careful not to act as if we see those pastimes all the time. That you're in that pastime, you know. It's not realized knowledge. You have to have realized knowledge. You speak from your realization. You speak from your realization. Prabhupada encouraged us to speak from the... Not that we just get... there used to be one devotee. He was a very smart devotee. Very intelligent. Had a very wonderful service. Wonderful service. He was the... BBT in charge. Like not the in charge, but the publisher. He was like in the top position of producing Prabhupada's books. He wasn't in charge of BBT, but he was a production manager. That's the title. And he was able to produce so many books, and he was very nice devotee. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. If we call book distribution Brihat Madanga, I mean, it's most pleasing to Prabhupada. What do you think that position is? That's a very, very intimate position with Srila Prabhupada. Huh? And this devotee, he could quote slokas like the wind. And then what he started doing is searching into the books and finding esoteric slokas. And when he gave class, he would quote these slokas and everybody thought, wow, he's so advanced. He's so advanced. Then one day he thought, I should move on from this. I'll write my own book, Chaitanya Bhagavat. I'll translate it because everyone should know Chaitanya Bhagavat. And for the next, these are his words, the next 10,000 years, the Chaitanya Bhagavat will be read by everyone. Right? And they'll make advancement. And then he went and took sannyas from one of Gaudiya Math. Then he became a guru, got some followers. Right? And now you don't hear much about him. Extremely intelligent, very intelligent, wonderful. quite austere also. But it's not enough. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. It's quoted right here in this purport. That one cannot make any advancement, no advancement, without the mercy of the spiritual master. One must approach the spiritual master to get that mercy. And how did it say to approach? Through the service, through sevaya. Prabhupada uses the word. It's not enough just to become brilliant, because sometimes we become brilliant and we find fault in the spiritual master. We start to think he's ordinary man. We start getting very intimate with him and we think, oh, look, huh? He takes shower just like I take shower. He puts on his dhoti just like I put on my dhoti. He eats just like I eat. He evacuates like I evacuate. He must be ordinary just like me. I think I know more slokas than him. Because when he tries to quote the sloka on the Vyasasan, he said, what's that verse? What's that verse? And I know it all the time. He doesn't know. I must be more advanced than him. Is that a disease? That's a disease. Very dangerous position. Because intelligence is an opulence. But the opulence, as we see with Indra, can get us in great trouble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known as Nimai Pandit. Wasn't it? He was Nimai Pandit. He could defeat anyone in logic, debate, shastra. He knew them all. Of course, he knew them all because he was God. But he also portrayed that position as Nimai Pandit. Even as a young boy, he was a topmost scholar. But what did his spiritual master tell him? When he was in the assembly of the big sannyasis in Benares, he sat with them. Actually, when he approached them, he didn't even go inside, did he? He bowed down outside. He sat outside where the people were washing their feet. And he sat down out there. But he was so brilliant, so effulgent, that the other sannyasis could not help to notice him there, and they asked, please, you come in. He was the only Vaishnav sannyasi in the crowd. Prakasananda Saraswati was there, so many disciples, and they had criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they questioned him, why is it that you do this sentimental activity, this chanting and dancing? That is not the business of a sannyasi. The business of a sannyasi is to study the shastra, to come up with different ways to present the shastra. Why is it that you do this? What did he say? So my spiritual master said, I am simply a fool. He followed the orders of his spiritual master and he engaged in this chanting, dancing. What happened immediately when he started chanting, though? He began to exhibit the ecstatic symptoms of love of God. So the goal of the Vedas, the goal of the scripture, the goal of the rules, the goal of all these instructions is not just to know the instruction. The goal is what? To achieve a loving relationship with Krishna. To achieve a loving relationship with Krishna. So therefore, even in our neophyte stage, when we do our service, it's recommended that you try to do it with love. You begin practicing this love now. Because if you're not practicing the love now, you won't be able to know what to do in the future. It's little. You cultivate it. Loving relationships with each other. There are different exchanges of love. There's six of them described, right? To exchange prasadam, to receive prasadam, to give and receive, to give gifts, receive gifts, and to reveal your mind in confidence, and to hear someone's mind revealed in confidence. Are we able to do that? Sometimes we'll talk about superficial things, but those things that are eating at our heart, Many times we're afraid to bring that up. Just like it was spoken the other day that the higher our position, well, this devotee was talking about stiffness of the back, right? He said the higher your position, the more rigid your back becomes. You know, first you start bowing down to people, and then when you get a little higher position, you just kind of nod to people. Or no, you touch the floor, he said. And he says, and then after you get a little more position, you don't touch the floor. And then you get a little more position, you nod. He was talking like this. Huh? But this is what happens when you misunderstand the Shastra also. Because it says in the Shastra that for a superior in public to a junior, he should have already embraced that devotee in his heart through his eyes. When the junior comes walking up, you take him in your eyes, into your heart, and you embrace him with love. Then the bowing down in public is not so important in that sense, because you're already embraced in the heart. But the problem is when we're new, we don't embrace people in our heart. We don't bow down. So we learn to bow down. But we should be embracing people in our heart as soon as we see them. Even Sudama Brahman, after he came back from seeing Krishna, receiving so many opulences, his wife, she didn't run up and grab him and hug him and, oh, I'm so happy. She took him with her eyes and brought him into her heart. And she embraced him with love and bowed down before him. We must learn the art of bringing the devotee, each devotee, into our heart when we see them. You can make big show. You can dive down on the floor. Huh? You see sometimes you're in a big crowded area and somebody comes diving in like, I am so surrendered to you. Right? But the surrender's in here. It's not out there. That's a nice external show. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was talking about this surrender. Huh? You have this external, it's an external manifestation by bowing down, but the internal, it must be that you're thinking of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You must bring the devotee into your heart. Not just the external. That's just an external exhibition of what's going on internally. What's going on internally is the most important thing. And when it's internal, it becomes manifest externally. When you meet an advanced devotee, what happens? Immediately you kind of feel happy. It says in the scripture that when you see an advanced devotee, you should become jolly. You should become jolly. When you see an equal, a friend, you should become friendly to your equal. And when you see someone who is less than, you should uplift them. Isn't it? But what is our tendency, Prabhupada says? Our tendency when you see someone less than, you oppress them. Huh? You see someone who is your equal, what do you talk? Did you see my new mobile? You know, I got a new car, my job, I'm now in the next position up. Like that. Even in brahmachari life, sometimes we're always talking about how wonderful we are. As soon as we meet somebody, we tell everybody how wonderful we are. Isn't it? No, but we should become friendly. And when you see a superior, what did Prabhupada say? They try to pull him down. Oh, why does he think he's so superior? Who's he think he is? I know more slokas than him. So therefore, we have to remember what is the position. We must become jolly when we see the superior. We must become friendly when we see the equal. And we must uplift those who are our juniors. That is the position of the Vaishnava. Isn't it? 9 o'clock, right? Okay. My watch is fast. It's already 9 o'clock. So, this is our business. Is to remember the instructions of the spiritual master. They're not easy to remember sometimes, especially when he's missing. So most of you are very fortunate now. Your spiritual master is right here. He's present. One time Brahmananda was in Juhu, and he was telling pastimes of Prabhupada, all these intimate early days. And one young boy raised his hand, he said, "We feel so unfortunate that we didn't get to have the personal association of Srila Prabhupada like you did." And he said, "You think you're unfortunate?" He snapped back very quick. "I am unfortunate. I sat at Prabhupada's feet and I fell asleep. I am unfortunate." Don't become unfortunate. Don't fall asleep at your spiritual master's feet. Don't fall asleep when you have intimate association. Sleeping doesn't always mean just closing your eyes and snoring. Sleeping sometimes means, just like Arjuna was described as Gudakesh, right? Conqueror of that sleep, conqueror of ignorance. Because ignorance is sleep. And what is the root word of ignorance? Ignore. We cannot ignore the presence of the spiritual master. Isn't this what caused Indra to be in his situation? He ignored the presence. He was in ignorance. He missed the opportunity to hear the spiritual master. Even if the spiritual master was just going to tell a joke, what a joke that would be. What a joke that would be. I want to hear that joke. Right? I want to hear that joke. I want to see. Arjuna even asked, how do they sit? How do they walk? How do they eat? You know, all those. What do they look like? Don't miss the opportunity. Because the opportunity is here and now. Taking the instructions, writing them down, remembering, is very important. But to execute them is more important. And to execute them with love is even more important. Sometimes I see the devotees doing these things like we do Tulsi Puja or Guru Puja. That's where I see it mostly. I see it in several temples. We do the Guru Puja and then we go to get those two cloths. You know those two cloths? One for wiping the table, one for wiping the floor. And we walk right in front of the spiritual master we just worship and we throw the rag. And it goes flying by him onto the floor and we wipe the table down. It's expedient. But if the guru is sitting there, you don't shoot a rag by him down to the floor and then you get down and wipe the floor and then you walk away. It's unconscious. And these are the loving moods that we do everything conscious that Krishna is there, the spiritual master is there. When we carry Tulsi, sometimes we carry Tulsi, she's leaning sideways. We're carrying her and then we put her on the table. And then we worship her. You see? We must be conscious. She's pure devotee. That's why we're going to worship her. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Why worship Tulsi if she's not worth worship? She's worthy of worship. Why? Because she's so intimately involved with Krishna. So intimately involved with Krishna. So whether we're doing the puja or after the puja or before the puja, she's still the same person. You see? So when we move her over here, it's not just... Sometimes we're doing guru puja and then we back right up to the Vyasa-sama with our backs and we dance. But who are we dancing for? Who are we dancing for? We got to remember that this dancing, even though I used to like to dance. I used to think I could jump higher than anybody could jump. You know, I could jump so high. But sometimes when you're jumping up and down, you're thinking, I'm the best jumper. You forget who you're jumping for. You're jumping for the best jumper. He's the best jumper. Sometimes we're leading kirtan and we think, oh, I'm such a wonderful kirtan leader. Hear my voice. Please hear my voice. We forget even that we're glorifying the best singer, the best musician. You see mridanga players, they're really good. Some of these young Gurukul boys, pop, 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 you know, they do all these beats. And isn't it? Man, I think, how do they do that? I can't even move my hands that fast. My fingers don't even want to move anymore. So I'm thinking, wow, look at that. I'm amazed. But they forget. They're thinking, am I not the best mridanga player? No, you're not. Krishna is. He can play mridanga like anything. Somebody was trying to tell me the other day that when they listen to Prabhupada chant, they could tell the difference between when Prabhupada's chanting for the people and when he's chanting bhajan for Krishna. I said, what are you talking about? When Prabhupada's chanting, he's chanting for Krishna, whether he's in front of people or in his room all alone. He said, no, you don't understand. I said, I do understand. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, maybe we present things a little differently, but the bhajan is the same, especially for someone who's like Prabhupada. He's glorifying Krishna. What do you think attracts the people when you chant? Your melodious kirtan? No, Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. And because Krishna is there, people go, oh, what is that? What's going on over there? What's that sound? Who's that person? Not because you're there. It's because Krishna is there. And because Krishna is there, he's all attractive. And because he's there, you become purified. The person who hears it becomes purified. Even the place you're chanting becomes purified. Goloka Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. Goloka descends right on that spot. Right on that spot, Krishna is there. All Prema Bhakti is there. All love of God is right there. Not you, Krishna. Krishna comes from the spiritual world, bringing the whole spiritual world, boom, right in your spot. And the more pure you chant it, the more he is manifest. And the more you give yourself to the holy name, the more the holy name takes over the crowd. Not you. What is your position? I'm simply the instrument here. When the sages of Naimisharanya asked Balaram to kill that demon Balvala, he called for his plow and he called for his club, and those instruments immediately came. He hooked him in his collar and smashed his head. That's what we're doing. We're just clubs and plows. And we're just supposed to be instruments to hook them and club the demoniac mentality and destroy it. That's our business, instruments. We have no other business, isn't it? It's not our business to think, see how wonderful I am? I had 100 people at my kirtan. How many did you have? Well, I had thousands. I never counted. I was just chanting. I was just chanting the Lord's name. Oh. I'll tell you one Sankirtan story, and then I'll stop. When I was a very young devotee, I was called Maha Mike. Sometimes. Anyway, I was the best Back to Godhead distributor. We didn't have hardly any books at that time to distribute, just BTGs. Every day I would go out and do 100, 200 BTGs. So many, I thought. And I had all these material methods to do it. We did Harinam, and we would chant for a while, and then some devotees would chant, some would distribute. So in those days, Back to Godhead was very thick, shiny paper, very beautiful. And I would stack. There was 100 in a case, depending on how fat they were, sometimes 150 if they were a little thinner. And you take this 100 books, you know, BTGs, and put them in my arm, and they were very heavy. Case of Back to Godhead is heavy, if you're going to carry it around in one arm. And I would stop people. But my arm would hurt. So I would convince them to take it so I could get rid of the books so my arm wouldn't hurt. That was my method. Smart, right? Very good. But it was material, you know? I had all these different material things I did to get people to take these books. So in 1971, Srila Prabhupada came to Detroit. So we went to see him. We didn't have vehicle at that time, only one vehicle. So as many people that fit in that Volkswagen bus went. So I hitchhiked. You know, dhoti, shaved head, hitchhiking out in America is a little strange. But anyway, I went. There's a lot of strange people hitchhiking at that time. So. And so I went and I got to see Srila Prabhupada, and I was listening, and Prabhupada was talking about several things. One is that we must understand the urgency to take up this Krishna consciousness. It's urgent. You know urgency? You know that word, urgency? 911 in America, it's an emergency call. You know, you have to rush to it because a person might die. You might die. So it's urgent to take it up now. And another thing Prabhupada said, we must give this Krishna consciousness like you give medicine to a horse. He said, two people will hold the head of the horse and one will shove the pill down his throat. That's what everybody said, Prabhupada. And then so Prabhupada said, the hand must be greased. There must be oil on the hand, you know, grease. So it slides down nicely, like that. So Prabhupada was talking like this. And he was, I'll tell, there was one devotee, Bahulasva. He was sitting right like this boy is sitting in front of Prabhupada. And he said, he raised his hand. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, Prabhupada, how can I serve you? Prabhupada looked at him and said, Chan Hare Krishna. Then about halfway through the lecture, he raised his hand again. Prabhupada had paused. And he said, yes. He said, Prabhupada, how can I serve you? And Prabhupada said, Chan Hare Krishna. So after the lecture, Prabhupada asked for questions. Bahulasva. Prabhupada looked. He said, yes. He said, Prabhupada, how can I serve you? Prabhupada said, I came all the way to your country to teach you to chant Hare Krishna. Please, just chant Hare Krishna. That's the service Prabhupada wanted us to do. Chant the holy name of the Lord. Right? So anyway, back to the story. We went back to St. Louis. We went back on Harinam like we did every day. I distributed the books. And that night, there was this Bhaktin Judy did more back to Godheads than me. I'm thinking, how did Bhaktin Judy distribute more back to Godheads than me? I'm the biggest. I'm the biggest distributor. So I'm thinking maybe I chanted in the kirtan party too long. So the next day I cut and I took more BTGs so it hurt more. And I distributed and that night. Again, she defeated me. I'm thinking, how is this possible? She must have the better corner. We were downtown, there's four corners. I'm thinking she had that corner, more people go there. Tomorrow I'm taking her corner. So I chanted for a while. I got my BTGs. I went over to her corner and I said, Bhaktin Judy, every day the people come to this corner, they must be seeing your face so much. You go over to the other corner and there'll be fresh people for you. She said, okay. So she went over there submissively, very nice. Now I'm thinking, all right. So many BTGs I distributed that day. That night, she distributed more BTGs than me again. I said, this is not possible. How is this possible? 3 days in a row, she's defeated me. I have all my methods. I cut the kirtan back. I had more BTGs. I was heavier with the people. How is it possible? How is it possible? So I said, tomorrow I'll go and listen to what she's saying. She's saying something. So I went over and I stood on her corner. And she is going up and she is stopping the people. She gives them a back to Godhead. And she says, my spiritual master said you must try to understand the urgency of taking up this Krishna consciousness. And she had like a tear in her eye and she's begging him. And she's saying exactly what Prabhupada said. And she's quoting Prabhupada. I'm thinking, this is spiritual. I can't compete with this. Like, how can you compete with this? I was so devastated. And I went back to the temple that night and I thought, now I must become spiritual. I must give up this material activity and try to figure out how to do what Prabhupada asked us to do. She became my shikshaguru for book distribution. And you know that woman still distributes books every day? Her name is Radhakund Devi Dasi. She is the wife of Yasomati Nandan Prabhu. And she is in Vrindavan and she sits there and she still distributes books. Every time I go, she bows down to me, I bow down to her lower. Because she's still my shikshaguru. She's still my shikshaguru because she taught me that you cannot distribute books or any other spiritual activity materially or materially motivated. You must be spiritually motivated. You must understand the goal is to come to Krishna. And you cannot come to Krishna by any material means. No material means. Ravana thought, I'll just build a staircase. I can go to heavenly planets. I can go wherever I want. I'm powerful. I'm opulent. No matter how many BTGs you can hold in your arms, or how fast you can play the mridanga, or how you can jump so high, that when the spiritual master is not present in your service, it's finished. And that's what Indra is coming to understand. I'll go seek him out and I'll put my head at his feet. But he's not there. It's too late. Too late. The demons are coming and you're going to be defeated. So you must understand the urgency of taking up this Krishna consciousness. You can't wait tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You have to do it now. It has to be done now. That's the message Prabhupada wanted us to get. Now. Don't wait. Don't. I hear some preaching now today. People are saying, well, you know, in our next life, we'll be able to. Next life! Prabhupada never talked the next life. He talked now. Get out now. Even some book distributors said, Prabhupada, we just want to distribute your books birth after birth. Prabhupada said, that is very nice. He said, but don't take the chance. Get out now. Get out now. The door is open. Run for it. We must understand the urgency to take up Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wanted. That's his message. You see the goal? You see Radha Gopinath? Run for them. Start running. You can't stop running. You know that they have those lemmings. You know those lemmings, that little rat-like animal? And they grow, they multiply. There's groups and groups of them. And all of a sudden, one will start running. And then they'll all start running like anything after that rat. And they're running around. They jump off the cliff and they die. Finally, a couple of them will stop and go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're not going to jump off. You see? I'm not saying be lemmings. I'm saying understand the message with knowledge. But you can't get that knowledge without service. And you can't get that service without the mercy of the spiritual master. So therefore, this is what Indra understood. Now I'm messed up here. I messed up really bad. And he cursed. He cursed his opulence. Didn't he? He cursed it. Just like the brahmanas. When Krishna asked him for something to eat, he ran the coward boys off. And when they realized how elevated their wives became, what did they say? To hell with the Vedic literatures. To hell with the scriptures. How did these women become more advanced than us? They just cursed the Vedas. The goal is Krishna. How to get there? It's through this parampara system. Without the parampara, you have nothing. You'll go like this. You ever sail on a boat? When they sail on a boat, they set some chart. And they look through this azimuth, they shoot this in it. And if you're just off, just a little bit on the map, and you're going along, and it's just, you know, a little bit, right? But by the time you get to that distance, you're way over here. You can't even see where that little island is. You're gone. So even if you deviate like that, just that little bit, whew, we must now jump at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, understand the urgency, and get out of here. Right? So now get out of here and go take prasadam or something. That's Krishna, right? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Radhana Swami ki jai.